Welcome to Breaking Out, The Bariatric Journey, Episode 2, The Surgery.
Now water can flow, or it can crash. Be water, my friend.
What's cat? There ain't no cats! There's no cats!
You can toss it over till it's over.
What's stopping you? Don't have enough time? Is that what's stopping you right now? Or is the thing that's stopping you, you?
I just feel so much better. I feel so much more confident. Any progress is progress. Keep going.
One more round.
What if you give it everything you have? And you come up short. What if you get weak along the way? What then?
There's no machine fighting the NFL! Get up, you son of a bitch! As Mickey loves you.
Hello again, I'm your host George, and this is Breaking Out, The Bariatric Journey. This is episode 2, the day of the surgery, the one you guys have been waiting for. Now, before we get into it, I kind of want to go over a quick little disclaimer that kind of describes everything within one quick slam, okay? So, to kind of go over it. So, the way it goes is now this gastric sleeve surgery, which is also known as sleeve gastrectomy, so it is a procedure in which a major portion of the stomach is removed to promote rapid weight loss. The procedure is typically performed in a hospital under general anesthesia, and the surgery usually takes between 40 and 70 minutes. So if you're thinking about gastric sleeve surgery, it's always a good idea to understand what happens on the day of the procedure. It can be helpful to know the timeline of what you may experience immediately before, during, and after the surgery. So, the day's finally here. You wake up, it's morning, and you say to yourself, "Today is the first day of the rest of my life."
The sleeve gastrectomy is a restrictive procedure, which limits the amount of food you can eat by reducing the size of your stomach. To gain access to the abdominal cavity, small incisions are created on the abdomen. Trocars, which serve as passageways for the surgical instruments, are placed into the incisions. Surgical instruments are passed through the trocars to access the abdominal cavity. The surgeon examines the abdomen using a laparoscope or video camera. During a sleeve gastrectomy, a thin vertical sleeve is created by using a stapling device. The excised portion of the stomach is removed. This smaller stomach sleeve restricts the amount of food you can eat before feeling full. There is no rerouting of the small bowel or post-operative adjustments necessary for the sleeve gastrectomy. As with all weight loss procedures, behavior modification and dietary compliance plays a critical part in determining the long-term success of the procedure.
I remember on that day going over and over my head, wondering what's going to happen, what kind of preparations are they going to do, what are they going to check. All that was a mystery because I didn't know what was going to happen. So I'm going to go over this stuff with you guys. I'm going to give you my experience of what I remember going through, and I'm going to give you the actual facts of what will be happening. So stick with me on that one, will you? So I'll start this little journey of mine right in the waiting room. Just waiting for them to call me in to go start this whole procedure. And of course, once they call you in, they give you a little bag. They tell you to put all your stuff in the bag, and they lead you to this room to change, and they put you in these funny looking robes. And then all of a sudden, you're in a small little room. They tell you to lay down, and they're just connecting you with all these different little things and tubes. So this is pretty much what they call the preparation stage. Now, what are the things that they're going to be looking for? Well, number one, they do want to check your vital signs because they want to make sure that your blood pressure, your breathing rate, your heart rate, and your body temperature is all going good. And you got to make sure that that passes. So weight-wise, they also want to make sure it's measured before the surgery. They also want to check your oxygen levels. That also will be checked using a device called a pulse oximeter. Man, I remember all that stuff. And then checking my blood pressure, my oxygen levels, all that. And the whole time I'm thinking in my mind, please just get this over with. Then they'll also be attaching an intravenous drip, otherwise known as an IV, which will deliver the necessary medications and anesthesia before the surgery. They'll also be administering anticoagulants, which are blood thinning drugs. And then there's the anesthesia, which will put you to sleep for the surgery. And you'll consult with the anesthesiologist, who will determine the best dosage for you. During the consultation with the anesthesiologist, you'll get a final chance to ask any questions. And remember, guys, never hesitate to voice these to the medical staff. So before you're taken into the operating room, you will be asked to empty your bladder, undress, and give all your valuables to your loved ones. This is the time, folks, to say your piece, to be at peace in your mind before the surgery. Okay, so the next part that comes up is sedation. Now, you'll first be put to sleep so that the surgery isn't felt, but it's not performed with the patients awake, of course. Now, aside from the pinch that you will feel when you're connected to the IV, you'll feel no pain. Now, as you get to the operating room, you'll also be connected to machines monitoring your vital signs, as well as a respirator to help you breathe. Gave that to me, man. Talk about purple haze. Jimi Hendrix, let me tell you something, boy. Everything starts to look very colorful, and suddenly I'm in the psychedelic 60s. So from this part up to the part where I come out of the surgery, I won't be able to tell you my personal experience unless I had some kind of weird dream or something, which I don't remember. So I'm going to give you all the facts up until that point, okay? Okay, so it all starts with the incisions. Small incisions are made into the abdominal wall, and they allow the laparoscope, is what they call it. It's a surgical tool, and the tubes in the stomach. It's pretty much at 15 millimeters. The largest of these are in the stomach, and it's the extraction port, and that's located above and to the right of your belly button, followed by the 12 millimeter camera, which is a port to its left. Now, several other smaller incisions allow for the tools to help position around the liver and then perform the operation. Now, in case some of you guys are wondering, safety-wise, now they do inspect prior to work beginning in the earnest of the surgeon observes the area through the laparoscope first. And then he starts to split away the blood supply from the portion of the stomach that will be removed. So this is an essential step that ensures a safe procedure. Now, once the blood supply is divided, and then a special tube called the Golgi tube is placed in the stomach to serve as a sizer for the portion that's left in the body. Then a specialized stapler is used to split the stomach into two. Then the finishing up part, the forming of the pouch. So after ensuring that the part of the stomach that remains is around 20 to around 25% of the original, then it's properly stapled shut. Now the rest of the tissue is taken out through the stomach extraction port. Then once the procedure is completed, the incisions are dressed and shut. Sometimes a tube running through the nose or the stomach will be left in there to allow the doctors access to the area to ensure that it is healing well. So now, what happens after the surgery? Now, given the scope of gastric sleeve surgery, it's little wonder that you can expect a 1 to 2 night stay in the hospital following the gastric sleeve surgery. Now, this is a critical time as your surgeon will need to ensure that there are no complications and that your stomach is healing well. So you will feel some pain and soreness following the operation, so they'll be administering some pain managing medications throughout your stay. So right around this point is when they start transferring you over to recovery. Now, what can you expect in recovery? So once at recovery, your bladder will be connected to a catheter during the procedure, and this will usually be left in until the day after the surgery, maybe sometimes longer. Now, once breathing is back to normal, along with other vital signs, then you're transferred to a monitored recovery room. And this is designed to monitor you as you recover. Yet most patients are here for at least a day following the surgery. And during this time and throughout the hospital stay, you'll have to wear the specialized compression stockings to help with the blood circulation and also to prevent blood clots. Now, if everything looks good in terms of recovery, then you'll be transferred to a regular hospital room. So once you're in hospital recovery, as you are recovering, it will be critical that you get some activity in there. So you're going to be asked to get out of bed and walk around, and usually with some assistance. Now, the evening of the surgery day, in addition throughout your time in the hospital, you'll be constantly asked to walk around the halls regularly. Now, I pretty much remember once I was in recovery, of course, but there's really not too much to tell right there because you're basically still coming out of anesthesia and you still don't know what's going on or even who you are. Now, the one thing I remember during the stay also was I was being asked to use an instrument called an incentive spirometer. Now, this measures your breathing. Now, as you're instructed to use this thing, they're going to be on you constantly because you have to reach a certain level and you have to take about 10 deep breaths into this device once every hour. Sometimes you might tend to forget. Now, remember, folks, that little apparatus is what's calling your judgment on going home, believe it or not. So you want to make sure you breathe. So then comes the time you've been waiting for, is the day of your discharge. Now, remember, if there's no signs of complications and your healing is progressing and you're seeming very healthy, that's when you're going to be cleared to go home. Now, as noted, patients usually do require 2 nights in the hospital, more or less, for recovery. Now, at discharge, you'll be given a great deal of guidance on diet and exercise that's critical for a successful outcome. Now, it all starts from a basic timeline even before you're at the hospital, okay? So now remember, the first 24 hours in the hospital are very particularly delicate. Now, you won't be able to eat or drink anything during this time, and you'll get nutrition and fluids all through your IV. Now remember, day 2 after surgery is when, barring complications, you'll be allowed to drink water and clear juices. And then at discharge is when you'll get full counseling on the liquid-based diet that you'll need to follow, and you won't be able to eat solid foods for at least 2 weeks, folks, and only when the surgeon has deemed it safe. Now that you're home and it's time for a great new start. Remember this stuff, folks, it's very important, your post-operative diet. Now, since surgery takes place on the stomach, it'll be some time before you're able to eat solid foods. So as you will be counseled, the post-operative diet during initial recovery is liquid-based and highly regimented. So remember, folks, it's absolutely essential that you stick to your doctor's orders with regards to diet and exercise. Now remember, gastric sleeve surgery by itself does not cause weight loss. Rather, it sets up the conditions, okay? The conditions for your successful outcomes based on changes that you have to make, all right? Remember, the word is you. Be sure that you are clear on what you should be eating, drinking, and doing on the following of the operation. Please. Now, folks, I know this part of it can give you a lot of anxiety, but believe me, if you follow the structure, you'll be just fine. Now, me, I was very blessed that my wife helped me with this. She is a blessing to me on this one because I would have had a hard time figuring it out. So what I'm suggesting is if you can do this stuff ahead of time by preparing and writing it all down, that's your best bet. That's the one flaw that I didn't do. But thank God for my wife, she took care of that. So with going over the facts and my experience, I hope it was somewhat helpful to all of you in some base. And just remember one thing, for those of you who are now deciding to do the surgery, or if you've already had the surgery, or if you're right in the middle of the surgery, thank you very much for listening. I hope this was helpful to you in some way. So for my closing statement, folks, on the outcome of your goals, now remember, while the prospect of weight loss surgery may be intimidating, it is important to remember that this procedure is both very safe and highly successful in promoting positive outcomes. It's also highly successful in combating not only obesity and a range of related conditions, but a healthier quality of life. So this is truly where your journey begins. Well, folks, thank you very much for joining me on episode 2, the day of the surgery. I'm your host, George, and this is Breaking Out the Bariatric Journey. I'll see you on episode 3. Be well and be safe. And with this closing, folks, I leave you with something to continue to motivate you. No matter how tough things become, don't ever give up. Keep the fight going. Always believe in yourself.
Yeah, I'll never forget a statement my doctor told me that if I did not get my diabetes under control, that he didn't believe I would live to 50 years old. And that really woke me up and made me make this decision. And I'm very happy I did. So I hope to live a long and healthy life. You know, this surgery didn't just change my life, but it saved my life.